You're listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a podcast where we explore what it's like getting older, the peaks, the valleys, and everything in between. In this season of Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, we're covering topics related to solo aging. I'm your host, Cheryl Proska. Let's grow old together. On today's episode, I'm joined by Jan Zacharias. Jan brings over 30 years' experience in group facilitation, healthcare program management, and counseling to her work as a professional certified coach. The founder of Coaching for Resilience, specializing in mid to later life transitions, Jan is passionate about helping people gain courage and resilience through unexpected work, health, and family changes so they can thrive moving forward. Jan has been recognized as a top life coach by Coach Foundation. She is co-chair of the Life Planning Network Philadelphia and serves on its national board as chair of chapter affairs. Along with individual coaching, Jan provides life purpose and energy leadership assessments and hands-on skill building workshops on resilience, successful aging, and care for caregivers. Jan, welcome and thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. So, Jan, you are joining me today to talk about resilience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We will start by defining resilience, then moves into how it plays into successful aging and provide concrete ways to build resilience in your daily life.
Got it.
I am wondering though, can we start by learning how you got into coaching and resilience work?
Absolutely. You know, coaching is actually my third career. I started out in the counseling field, and then I got my master's in human organization science and ended up segueing into the business side of healthcare, working in pharmaceutical marketing research and hospital program management. And then as I was going through my own personal midlife transition, I was doing a lot of self-reflection, self-assessment to really kind of define for myself what was next for me. And amongst a variety of things I did, I actually participated in a pilot study that was about how to become more resilient. And it was actually absolutely life-changing for me. And I simultaneously became the family go-to person, if you will, to oversee the care of my mother-in-law, who I love dearly. She developed Alzheimer's and we moved her up from Florida to Philadelphia. And for 10 years, I oversaw her care. And then I went on to oversee the care for my own mother for another 10 years, who was experiencing some physical as well as cognitive frailty. So while my mother-in-law aged in an assisted living community, my mom aged at home, aged in place in the home that I grew up with in. And through these experiences, it became really important to me to incorporate these life experiences into my professional work as well. And so I started providing positive aging discussion groups for a variety of organizations. And ultimately, a friend introduced me to coaching. And she said, Jan, I think you'd be great at this. And I quickly learned that this was really the perfect place to blend my professional skills and my personal life experience.
I love how you just saw some aspects of your life that could have been these life challenges, these life hurdles, and you turned it into something so beautiful. Not only did you turn it into a business, but you turned it into a way to really help other people going through something. One, if you're aging, you're going to go through transitions. And two, you have that experience. So I'm going to say you can relate to people. And that is such a beautiful thing in a coach or a counselor when you know someone understands where you're coming from.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Jen, how would you define resilience?
Well, you know, most people think of resilience as bouncing back after a life setback or challenge. And that clearly is one aspect of it, the ability to do that. But what's also critically important from my perspective is to take a look at what did you learn from that experience and ultimately really emerge stronger than before having gone through this life experience. And I like to look at the simplest way I like to look at resilience is positive adaptation in the face of adversity. And then the ability to not just bounce back and survive, but spring forward as a result of those experiences.
And a word that I know that you use and at Friends Life Care we use the word thrive. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say is, how can you turn these experiences that you have, albeit some tough experiences, mm-hmm. how can you look back, learn, and in your life moving forward, use those learnings to let's cut out survival mm-hmm. mode. We can't live in that forever, mm-hmm. but really, how can we thrive? Mm-hmm. And that is the only path forward to not have this heavy burdening on us.
Yes, exactly. And we'll be chatting about that, I think, a little bit more as we talk about some mindset changes and how you can facilitate that ability to, you know, move forward and continue to grow and be your best self.
So moving into more of those tangible aspects of building resilience, can you touch on the qualities that foster resilience?
Yes, absolutely. There are actually are nine character traits that we all have that are associated with resilience as we age. And the really good news about this is that you can actually learn how to strengthen these traits in yourself. They're learnable skills, and no matter how young or old you are. So let me give you a little further context here. Most of us are familiar with abnormal psychology, which is an illness-based model. But the model that I look at when I look at resilience is based on positive psychology. And that was developed by Martin Seligman out of the University of Pennsylvania. And Dr. Seligman identified 24 character traits that we all have that we're born with. And we just have some of them to greater or lesser extents, but we all have these traits. And his idea is that if you focus on strengthening the strengths or the traits you already have, this is another way to deal with challenge and adversity. So it's really a strengths-based model. And then these nine traits are actually a subset of those 24 that have been found to be associated with resilience as we age that came out of additional work out of University of Pennsylvania.
It is, I would say, refreshing for me to know that somewhere in me, I already have these traits to be resilient. I just have to focus on building them. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to something that I have done with my education with organizational development and leadership, where we focus a lot on what are your personal strengths mm-hmm. and how can you build more upon them. We also don't focus so much on where we're faltering or where we have those like maybe lower points of our skills and abilities. Sure, mm-hmm. we can work on them, but we really want to help make us shine. So how can you build on what you're already good at?
Right. So let me give you a couple of examples of what these 9 traits are.
Okay.
So they are things like creativity, you know, your ability to think out of the box, and apply it to problem solving. There's perseverance, persistence, being able to see your way through issues, open-mindedness, humor. And then we have perspective or wisdom, social intelligence, which is your ability to kind of use your intuition and be able to maneuver and manage in different kinds of social situations. Self-regulation, hope, and spirituality. And again, what's really really always gets me so excited is that if you were intentional, you can actually learn how to further develop each one of these skills within yourself, and it takes practice. And you know, the more you practice, the more resilient you can become. I look at resilience as a muscle. And just like any other muscle, you've got to use it, you've got to practice it in order to strengthen it.
And you and I, when we were prepping for the podcast, talked about that the more you're exposed to something, the more you're hearing about it, the more that you are focusing on it, the more you're just naturally going to start moving in that direction. So do you find that even like introducing people to these 9 character traits and ways in which we can improve ourselves in those areas, that just starts to help people notice and maybe instinctively people start building their own resilience?
Yeah. Well, again, the first step in making any kind of a change within yourself is acknowledging where you are. And if you are able to also know that, you know, using, let's say, persistence, for example, you're in a situation where you have a loved one who's in the hospital, or you're caring for someone in a nursing home. You know, persistence is an incredibly valuable skill to take with you and apply it in this situation. So being aware of these skills and practicing how to use them, they start to become second nature when you need to rise to the occasion and you know, have this repertoire to call on.
I love that. When you're called to rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Jan, what mindset shifts can we make to help us be more resilient?
Well, great question. One of the most powerful things that we can do, or that you can do when you're in a challenging situation, is reframe it. To look at what is, you know, you've got a challenge, you've got a problem, but what's the opportunity also associated with that challenge? And you know, the bottom line is that you really have a choice about where you focus your attention. Okay. So you can either, you know, choose to focus where you are stuck and wallow and marinate in, oh my God, look what's happened.
Been there.
And what happens is it's a self-perpetuating process. The more you wallow in it, the more stuck you can be. But if you're able to shift your focus and look at where you'd like to be as opposed to where you are currently stuck, this is a key way of how you can redefine your future. I have a favorite saying. It's called life grows where your focus goes. Okay. And again, it has to do with where you're focusing your attention. Let me give you an example. So let's say you've decided you're going to buy a new car, and you've decided on, I'm going to get the Honda Accord. And you're driving down the street And you notice, oh, well, there's the silver model, the silver Accord. Oh, I love that color, you know, and you're a little further down. Oh, there's the sport model. And there's the hybrid. And all of a sudden, it seems like every other car on the road is a Honda Accord. So what's going on here? Really, what's going on is this is what's on your mind. This is what you're focusing on. And it's you start to generate it in your environment because you're more aware of it and you're focusing on it. Okay. And this this ties in with something called the law of expansion. And what that is whatever you're focusing on grows bigger. And this applies to both good things as well as bad things. Okay. So again, let's take an example. Let's say it's the holidays and you've created this beautiful meal and, you know, all the fixings and you're, you know, ready to go. Last minute, somebody comes down with COVID. And suddenly you've lost the majority of your guests who are coming to dinner. So naturally, you're kind of upset, but you're really disappointed. You're really angry, you know, all this time and effort, and we all were so looking forward to it. And this darn, you know, virus is back again, and da, 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 you know, we on and on and on. So you can keep yourself stuck at that, or you can choose to look at a little thing a little differently. And I suggest asking yourself this question. Ask yourself, well, what could you do? And so you could say, well, I'm disappointed and I'm going to acknowledge that. It's not like the disappointment's not going to be there, but let yourself feel your disappointment. But then, you know, well, I could pack up, you know, the meals and put them together and deliver them over to my kid's house or my in-law's house and leave it at the, you know, at the, on their doorstep, and maybe even check in on Zoom and say hi that way. Or I could invite, you know, my neighbor who lives alone and doesn't have any family in the area. And I know she's alone and I could invite her over. So you start to reframe and shift your mindset into out of where you're stuck into where you'd like to be, where you'd like to feel, and, you know, keeping that end result in mind and being more solutions oriented. So shifting that frame, that mindset frame.
I am putting myself in that situation and I felt all the feelings that you were describing. I was feeling that disappointment of, oh my goodness, I was looking forward to seeing these people. I worked so hard. Everything looked so nice. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to, if I ended there that day and I went to sleep, I would not feel good. Mm-hmm. But if I, as you were suggesting, turned that situation into positive energy in any way that I could, mm-hmm. going to bed that night, mm-hmm. I would feel so satisfied. And for me, it would be worth it to mm-hmm. reframe and just feel better about my day.
Yes. Absolutely. And again, so it's life grows where your focus goes. Mm-hmm. The important point to remember is that as you mentioned, Cheryl, also, many of us have some really challenging circumstances that fall in our laps and we can't control that. But what we can always control is our focus and where we choose to focus our attention in that, you know, that negative stuck place, or stepping back, reframing and shifting gears to see what could you do that's going to be more productive and satisfying and feel good for everybody.
Would you prefer to age independently in your own home or live in a nursing facility? I know what I'd rather do. Friends Life Care membership offers just that. Plan today for a future lived at home with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience while protecting your savings. Learn about your options at a free seminar or webinar. Register at friendslifecare.org/register or call 215-628-8964. So if COVID has taught us anything, It's that change and uncertainty are unavoidable.
Yes.
What are some strategies to help us on a day-to-day feel more balanced and in control?
Several things that you can do. One of the most important things, and especially for solo agers, but it's relevant to all of us, is to stay connected. Mm-hmm. Okay. Relationships and friendships are so important as we age. So keeping in touch actively with the people who are in your life, friends and family members, whether they live in the city or live out of town. And looking back at your former relationships, you know, is there somebody you haven't been in touch with in a long time or might be experiencing something similar that you are now, and reach out to that someone from the past. And also always being open and receptive to making new friendships, cultivating the new. The old make new friends and keep the old one as silver and the other's gold really, really applies here. Because actually the people who successfully age the most, there are research that has been done on the blue zones with centenarians, people who've lived over age 100. And one of the things that a key quality is their ability to stay connected, stay engaged with people, and to be part of a community. So that would be another recommendation, to really look at any communities that you're a part of already, where maybe it's a religious or a spiritual one, or some sort of a cause that's dear to you. But create that sense of community, that sense of belonging for yourself. Another strategy is really being kind and helpful and to help others. And what happens when we do that, help others, we take our focus off ourselves. And again, it's another shift there. And actually, research shows that you, as the giver of a kind act, actually receive greater satisfaction than the person who receives that piece of kindness. What happens, there's a chemistry behind it, and our bodies release are these feel-good hormones, the serotonins and so on. And there's a physical reason that being kind then helps to improve our wellness, our satisfaction, our well-being. And there are many, both physical as well as emotional benefits of being helping others, serving others, being kind. And another thing that I really suggest is that having fun, build even in the midst of horrible things that are going on. And again, many of us, Lord knows, have encountered a lot of really challenging emotional situations, but give yourself permission to have some fun too, to help balance that out. And whatever fun means to you, there's not a magic formula for that. But one thing that is also very helpful is taking a walk, getting out in nature, even when it's cold out. This weekend, I put my long johns on underneath and, did my share of walking. Again, there is nothing like, if you're feeling down, there's nothing like taking a walk to help turn that around. You get a dose of vitamin D from the outside. It helps that serotonin level go up, and you breathe in the fresh air physically into your lungs, deep breath in and letting it out. And that helps physically to cut through anxiety as well. So lots of good things from getting out of doors. So those are a couple of ways to continue to keep connected with people.
And I love what you said about starting with what you know, mm-hmm. or something that you already feel strongly about, such as if you are part of a community, get started there, part of a cause, part of a certain spiritual group, if you really like animals, if you really like singing, mm-hmm. just get started there, because you're bound to have something in common with individuals that are going to the places you go, liking the things you like. And that's not to say that you shouldn't over time then reach out and get yourself out of your comfort zone. But if you need to get started, get started in your comfort zone, because at least you'll start having those connections and getting those boosts of serotonin and those feel good feelings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And small steps matter.
Yeah.
Steps get us there.
Mm-hmm. Now, something I had wanted to talk about earlier, but I accidentally glossed over. So I'm hoping we can circle back.
Sure.
Can you talk about what mid to later life transitions tend to impact our resilience?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of them. One of the interesting things about mid and later life is it's a key time of change. Just as we get older, there are a number of changes in work, in home, in work, in health, and in relationships that take place, or family. And certainly these changes can be very stressful, overwhelming, put us in a place where our identity can be impacted of who are we. And they often happen when we least expect them. So let me give a few examples. So like in the work area, certainly retirement is a biggie. And so most of us are more cognizant about planning for our financial retirement. Mm-hmm. And some people plan for their lifestyle in retirement as well, but many kind of overlook that piece. And in retirement, there generally is a wonderful honeymoon period of enjoying all the flexibility and the freedom to do all kinds of things. But then periodically we start, the notion of purpose starts to come up, like, well, nobody's expecting me Monday morning. Where am I going? What am I doing? So creating purpose in your life is a very important part of retirement lifestyle. And for many people who have worked, 40, 50 years, so much of their identity is tied up in this breadwinner role, particularly for men, but certainly for women as well, because many women have been primary breadwinners these days as well. And so for as you retire, there can be real concerns about, well, who am I now if I'm not the CEO or the boss or the manager or, the factory worker, whatever. It's can leave us feeling lonely, isolated, confused, and kind of lost. And then there's unplanned early retirement, people who may be right-sized out of their or downsized out of their career, late stage in their career. And again, this can be especially devastating because not only, those changes of identity, but it's more challenging to get another job later stage of career. Certainly not impossible, but it's more challenging. And there can be financial implications as well, and a lot of self-worth. So those are some of the rubs on the work side. Now, then there's health kinds of changes. Whether, let's say, a chronic illness is diagnosed either in your partner, your spouse, or even in yourself. And suddenly you have more limitations on what you can do, and your expectations are kind of off from what you thought you were going to be able to do versus in reality what you can do, whether it's traveling or socializing or whatever, in light of this chronic illness, for example. And again, there can be a lot of disappointment and kind of feeling torn of, certainly you want to help the person if it's, a partner or a loved one who is has this illness. But also you may feel sad, you may feel a little angry, perfectly normal, because again, things aren't happening the way you expected them to. So a lot of emotions can come into play there. And then finally, there's a lot of family changes that can happen in the mid and later time stages of life. There later stage divorce, we've seen more of that happening after the family, you know, couple may have stayed together for the kids and now the kids are off on their own and they decide it's time for them to go their separate ways. In-laws, you know, families also, sometimes they shrink and sometimes they expand and you inherit a whole new branch of family, and which can be wonderful. And there can be some challenges associated with that as well. There's adult children who might end up moving back home and with their children, particularly that happened a lot when throughout the pandemic for intergenerational, you know, helping each other. And then of course, the most challenging of family changes is the loss of a spouse or a partner. So again, it's very typical that we need to don new roles in mid and later life that are different than what we're accustomed to. And that puts us in unfamiliar territory, which makes our brains kind of get quite scared and go to kind of the worst case scenario. Again, it can be very typical that, you know, a whole array of experiences of feeling sadness, anger, insecurity, uncertainty. So again, it's perfectly understandable if you feel overwhelmed or devastated, or feel like your world's just been turned upside down. So that, you know, that lonely feeling, that isolation, that insecurity about what's next is very real for people. I assure you, you're not alone in those feelings. And again, that's where resilience really comes into play, to use these resilience skills to help you through these changes and transitions in work, in family, and in health.
I'm laughing to myself because you're helping me realize that I sort of single-handedly put my in-laws through a number of those mid to later life transitions you're talking about. So I was brought into the family and then my in-laws took care of my son for the first 18 months of his life. And then during the pandemic, my whole family moved in with them for about 18 months. So I am the cause of their transition. So I apologize to them if they're listening, but I mean, yeah, those are probably things they did not necessarily see coming, but they handled it with grace. So I feel lucky because I know everyone does not have the luxury that I do.
Well, that's wonderful. And as you say, they handled it with grace, with social intelligence, it sounds like.
Yes.
I'm sure you were a good guest. But, you know, here's another example. And I see you're laughing. Humor. Humor is such a great stress buster. I'll give you an example of something that happened to me. So I encourage you to kind of look for the humor in a situation, particularly in an emotionally intense situation. Mm. So about 4 or 5 years ago, my husband and I were taking a walk on a beautiful Sunday morning in the neighborhood. And somehow I just tripped and I fell flat on my face on the sidewalk and I fractured my neck. I broke my nose.
I'm so sorry.
Stitches inside of my lip. I really did a good job. So one of the things, it ended up being a several month recovery, but I'm fine now. But I remember looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, seeing all my beautiful swelling and bruising, I was like, well, now I know if I ever was wondering how I'd look with Botox, I've got an idea. Can't wait to get my wrinkles back. I'm fine with my wrinkles now that I see what I could look like. Anyway, so it's finding the humor in the situation. And not only did it help me to cope, but my family, my husband, who were so concerned about me with the neck brace and this and that, it really can be quite a big help. And let me give you another example. You talked about in-laws and as parents. Another thing that can happen, a good time to use your open-mindedness is, let's say your child or your grandchild comes home with a non-traditional partner. Somebody that, you know, kind of you weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. So you have a choice. You can either find a way to be open-minded and accepting, you know, and non-judgmental, versus you can risk losing that relationship. So again, the choice is yours. Exercise your open mind. What is your ultimate goal? Can you put aside any judgments you have because you love your child or your grandchild and you want to preserve that relationship? That's really your end goal, not being critical of who they've brought home or another example is, you know, sometimes grandparents get maybe question their children's child rearing skills, you know, style, that it's different than how they did things. And again, if you focus on everything that you disapprove of how your kids are raising their grandchildren, what do you think is going to result? How are you going to show up? You know, are they going to want you to, either are they going to want to hang out and spend a lot of time with you and ask you to babysit or not, if that's all you focus on? But if you realize that you're doing that, acknowledge it, get it, and ask yourself, what's my end goal? What do I really want to achieve here? Do I want to, you know, be critical? Or do I really want to, you know, enjoy and have a great quality relationship with my children and grandchildren? Choices.
The examples are very helpful because I think that our listeners will be able to put themselves in some of those different scenarios as it may pertain to their lives and work on the reframing and building those resilience character traits that we've gone over to help put that positive spin on these situations that are pretty naturally occurring in everyone's life.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So I have one more question, and I do want to acknowledge that I think we touched on this answer throughout the podcast. Mm-hmm. However, it would be great to give people like this last bite of information and send them off with it. Mm-hmm. How can we manage a change that is impacting us right now?
Great, great one. Okay. So step number one is define for yourself, where are you now? Okay, we talked about this. It's important to acknowledge where you are now as the starting point. And identify where you want to be. What's the end result of where you want to land? And ask yourself these three simple questions. The first one is, how am I feeling now? Okay, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm resentful, I'm uncertain, I'm scared, whatever it is. Okay, so ask yourself, how do I feel now? Second question then is, how do I want to feel? I want to feel happy. I want to feel confident. I want to feel relaxed. I want to feel, in control. Okay. And then the third question is, what's one step you can take in the direction of where you want to be? And carve out one step. It can be a tiny step because it's a building process. And all you need is step number one to get you started on the path to where you want to go and where you want to land.
That is something that I think everyone can do. And it ties right back into what you were saying with what you focus on grows. Mm-hmm. And step one leads to step two, to step three. And as you focus and you build, you can get there. Lovely.
Thank you.
Jan, thank you for sharing your resilience expertise, especially as it relates to aging with us. Mm-hmm. I am encouraged by the many ways we can get unstuck, myself included, shift our mindsets, and build resilience in our daily lives.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation this morning.
Thank you for listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor. a unique program focused on aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience. You can find links and show notes from this episode on our website at friendslifecare.org/podcast.
Thank you to Jan Zacharias for joining us today. You can learn more about Jan and Coaching for Resilience on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Jan's website, coachingresilience.com. If you like our show, please rate, review, subscribe, and join us next time. To learn more about aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience, subscribe to our blog at friendslifecare.org/blog.